Bezos Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Mem Gimel in Maseches Shabbos, the 105th daf in Shas. The Gemara on the bottom of Mem Beis Amud Beis was discussing that one can violate rules of Muksa, two different opinions, what exactly the rule is, so we'll mention both, of either using a utensil in a way that's not normal for it, or causing the utensil not to be able to be used for other things because you use that utensil to catch an egg that is laid. And the Gemara says that even though if it was common for an egg to be laid and roll, then in such a case you would be allowed to catch it with the utensil and make the utensil unusable, because at the end of the day it's an Iser Derabanan and you're doing a Hatsala. Nevertheless, it's more common, says the Gemara, for roosters to lay hens to lay their eggs in a garbage dump, and therefore what one is allowed to do is do a Hatsala Mitsuya, and that Hatsala Mitsuya is a Hatsala in which you cover an egg that was laid in Nashba, but we do not allow people to catch an egg, because in general that is a Hatsala that's not necessary. So the premise of the Gemara was that a Hatsala that Shchiach is permissible, Hatsala which is not Shchiach is not acceptable. The Gemara at the top, Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, continues to question this assumption. Eisvei, I'll ask you the following question. Koifin ka'ora ala ner shaliyofas bikora. You're allowed to put a utensil, a dish, on top of a candle in order to protect a beam on the ceiling from catching fire. Answers the Gemara, that is not Hatsala Sheini Mitsuya. That, the Gemara assumed the question was Hatsala Sheini Mitsuya. The Gemara says no. Bibata Gichini Dishrich Beidleka. We're talking about a house that has a low roof where it was common for the roof to catch fire. V'chein kura kora shenishbara, and so too a beam that has broken, som chenosa besafsel baruchas amita. You're allowed to support it with a bench. Why is that necessary? It must be because even atzala she'ena mitzuya, even if it's not likely that the beam is going to break anymore and cause any damage, nevertheless, you're allowed to do it. The Gemara gives the same teretz. Bikshu rechadete David de Paki. We're talking about a new beam which is likely to break because it hasn't been checked whether it is wrong beam or not. Hence, it would fall into the category of a Hatsala Mitsuya. The Gemara continues in the same vein and quotes another analcha of Hatsala that was done in the face of Muksa. Neisnin kli tachas adelf b'Shabbos, one is allowed to place a utensil under a leak on Shabbos, even though one is causing the kli to no longer be able to be used. And you're doing a Hatsala. Says the Gemara, b'batichati shrichi dalfi, we're talking about a new house where it's common for there to be many leaks until eventually a person fixes all of the leaks. Rav Chisda had taught us yesterday, as we mentioned, that you're not allowed to put a utensil under the chicken to catch the egg. Rav Yosef explains what's behind Rav Chisda's logic. Rav Chisda only allowed, as we discussed in the beginning of the Gemara today, to cover the egg. If Yosef Amar Hainu Tam Rav Chisda Mishum Nekomavatel Kli Mehechano, one is not allowed to catch the egg in such a manner because then the utensil will no longer be able to be used, as we mentioned earlier also. Eitzvei Abaye asked the following question. Chavish al tevel shenishbara, if you have a barrel of untithed fruit that broke, maybe kli acheru miniach tachteha, you're allowed to bring another utensil and put it underneath the tevel, and in such a case, you can save the tevel. But what about the problem that it is going to cause the utensil to no longer be able to be used? Answers the Gemara, no, that svara of Rav Yosef is correct. Amalei, Rav Yosef said back to him, Tevel muchan hu etzel Shabbos, that the halacha is that untithed food is not as much as an egg. And the reason is for the following. It's considered prepared. Shim avar v'tikno mesukan, that if someone violated the din derabbanan that you're not allowed to tithe the food, the tithing, the truma, would be a valid hafrash. So that's how Rav Yosef got out of that problem, that bidiyavad truma would be effective even on Shabbos. What about the next one? Noisen kli tachas haner, the kablin tzitzis. One is allowed to place a utensil under the candle in order to capture the sparks that are flying out. You're not being mevatel the kli me'echano because the sparks are not significant. V'chein kora, as well, abim shenishbra, sam chanos v'saf sol beruchas hamita. What about the fact you're being mevatel kli me'echano? The Gemara says, Derafi, Dibay Shakale. It was only put, the bench was put loosely, and it could be taken out from underneath the beam, and therefore there would be no problem. Batal Kli Mechano. What about Nosning Kli Tachas Adelf B'Shabbos, putting the utensil under rain, which is Muksan Shabbos? Bedelef Haro'i, answers the Gemara. Talking about rainwater that is capable to be drunk, hence the water would not be muksa. You're allowed to turn over a basket in front of chicks, that they could go up and down the to its chicken coop. Answers the Gemara, this man that the basket could be moved around and would not violate the rule of bitul kli mehichano. Asks the Gemara about Tanya, also the Taltlo, what do you mean that you're allowed to move it? Don't we say that you're not allowed to move the box? Says the Gemara, but oh, don't love. When the chicks are on it, then you're not allowed to. When the chicks are off, you're allowed to. Vatanya, but then we learn, Bryce Alpishain, Ain Odon Alav Asur? Question mark. Amrebe Evo, but Odon Alav Benash Mashos, Kol Benash Rashos. If the chicks were standing on it, all banash mashos. So then once the chicks are mukso, what it stands on is also mukso. And migud is katsai banash mashos, is katsai likuliyama. Once it becomes mukso banash mashos, then it becomes mukso the entire day. Mark continues two lines before the wide, mem gimel and alpha, mer bitzchak. Kishem she nosen kli tachas tarnagolis lakabli tzasa. Just like one is not supposed to put a utensil under the tarnagol to catch its egg. You're also not allowed to put a utensil on top of it in order that it should not break. Kasavar, he holds that the reason is, ein kli nitel el davar hanitel b'Shabbos. Rav Yitzchak gives a different explanation for the prohibition of using a kli for a davar mukza, and therefore, since he gives a different explanation, he prohibits both putting a kli under the chicken as well as using the utensil to cover an egg, which earlier we had seen opinions that permitted it. Kasavar, the reason for Rabbi Yitzchak is because he holds ein kli nitel el davar nitel b'Shabbos. The only thing you can use a utensil for is its primary usage, and that's how you could use it on Shabbos. And we asked all of the above questions, all of the above instances where we saw, for example, rainwater and so on, where we saw that one is allowed to use the utensil, the cereal bowls normally not used for rainwater, yet nevertheless we had learned it was acceptable. Vishani, and we answered, Bitzarech Limakomo. In a case of where you need to use the area where the kli is, then the kli will not be batel. Vishani b'tzarech l'mekomo, and they answered that even though we have a rule, ein kli nitel el adavar hanitel b'Shabbos, we're talking about an instance where he originally picked up the cereal bowl because he wanted to use the place of the cereal bowl. So since he already picked it up, then we are going to be more lenient, Rashi explained. You're allowed to place the bowl anywhere that you like. Therefore, we would allow you even to put it tachas tarnigolas. Tashmat, the Gemara attempts another proof. Not like Rabbi Yitzchak's explanation that the reason why you can't put the kli tachas tarnigolas is because of ein kli nitel ella ledavar hanitel. Achas beitza, in beitza gimel and beitza we learned, whether we're talking about beitza shenol de b'Shabbos, if the egg was laid on Shabbos, v'achas beitz shenol to be Yom Tov, whether it was laid on Yom Tov, ein metaltin cannot be moved lo lechasis ba esakli, the egg cannot be used to cover a utensil, lismoch ba kari mita, and also to support a bed. An egg can actually be very strong if the pressure is put in the right place. Hence, it was used to support even bedposts. We learned that you're allowed to turn a kli on top of it in order that it should not break. Now, the problem is, how can one use the utensil to cover the egg? Didn't we learn that, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that would be prohibited? We have to give the same answer, that the utensil was originally picked up because one needed the area of the utensil. That is mutter to move. In such a case, you're allowed to move the utensil. Even if kli shem lachto le'iser, one is allowed to move it, letzara komo, then one would also be allowed to put the utensil down on top of a kli. Tashmar kamenir, I'll bring you a proof. Parsim machzolos agabe avon b'shabbos. One is allowed to spread out mats on top of stones on Shabbos. One is allowed to spread a canvas or a sheet on top of rocks that will get ruined during the rain, even though that sheep, that wasn't its primary purpose. So we see, not like Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, "Ein kli nitel el ledavar hanitel." Hachanami v'tzarach l'mekom. We have to give again the teretz that we're talking about where the sheet was already picked up l'tzarach l'mekom. Then Chazal say you're allowed to use it to protect something else. Tashra coming here, bringing proof. Prosim machzol salgabi avon b'shabbos. You're allowed to spread mats on top of stones on Shabbos. So that's a very similar question we had asked before. Here the Gemara gives a slightly different teretz. We're talking about sharp stones, which were in those days used to clean oneself, to like toilet paper is used today, and therefore you're not using the kli for a davar shein unitl. One could use the kli to transport, etc., these small rocks. Tashma, the Gemara attempts another proof vis-a-vis Rabbi Yitzchak, who said ein kli nitl davar hanitl. Ein bar simachzol slagav levon b'shabbos. One is allowed to spread a protective sheet on top of stones on Shabbos. Here, Baruch Hashem, our beautiful country is continually being built, Arzeinu HaKadosha, and when rocks and cement blocks are brought by workers to the construction site, so these mats are put on top of them to protect the rocks. Now there, you're using the mat in a way that's not the normal way to use the mat. And why don't we say Ein kli nitl ledavar min hanitl? Answers the Gemara, Deshtuya mi binyana dechazil mezgala. This was leftover rocks from the construction, and it could be used to sit upon them. And since they're not entirely muktzah, because it could be used to be sit upon, then there's no problem, even according to Rabbi Yitzchak, who says, Ein kli nitl davar nitl, for them to be used. Tashra, I'll come, I'll bring you a proof. Parsim machzalos. Again, we're trying to figure out what makes a utensil muktzah to catch an egg, as described earlier in the Gemara, and for that matter, to understand the other exceptions to the rules that we had said that we were makil on muktzah. It was left over from the construction, these bricks, and they could be used for sitting on. Toshman parsim achzel slagabi kaveris devarim b'shabbos. One is allowed to spread out a sheet on top of a beehive on Shabbos. B'cham bnei achama, during the sun to protect it from the sun, the bees. V'ksham bnei akshamim, and the rain to protect it from the rain. Ulvach lo yiskavim, lots of on the condition that he doesn't have intent to trap. But how could this be done? At the end of the day, the mat or sheet, here the sheet being used to cover the kaveris devarim, wasn't designated for that. It was designated for sleeping. Hachamai skin answers the Gemara, di'ika dvash. We have to say that the case is talking about where there was honey in the honeycomb, and therefore spreading the sheet out is to protect the honey itself on Shabbos, and it's not just a loophole. I'm there. Vukum Meishan Liravashi Ukva from Meishan Setravashi Teinich Bimel Sachama. I understand when it comes to the summer, the Ikad Vash. So then there's honey, and you could give your pshat. Bimel Sacham Delekad Vash Mai. What are you going to do during the winter months where there is no honey? Ma'ikal Ameimar. What are you going to do? How are you going to explain this halacha? The Gemara answers, Loi Nitzricha Elo Eisen Shtei Chalas. No, over here, even B'Yimos HaGeshamim, even though there isn't a lot of honey, there are two honeycombs that are still there that need to be protected. Rashi explains that in the summer months, when you take off the honey that was produced by the bees, you leave, and what remains are two chalos, two honeycombs that are left for the honey, the bees themselves to sustain themselves from. Asks the Gemara v'almuktos ninu, but those two honeycombs are designated for the bees, and they're muksa. If they're muksa, so then once again, ein kli nitel el tzarach davar nitel. How are you able to cover these combs? Answers the Gemara dechashiv alayu. He decided that he was going to eat from these combs. He wasn't going to give it only to the bees. Hence, they're not muksa. Deduces the Gemara, three lines on the top, Mem Gimel and Beis, Halacha Shavalai Mai, Aser. But if he didn't think that he was going to use it, they'd be Aser. Yehachi, Hadetani Bavachali Skavin Lotzud. It says in the Braisa, so also be careful not to intend to trap the beeves. Liflo Glutzna to be the Dal. You should add something else and qualify as follows. Bamedvar Mum Kishachi Shavalayim. Avalochi Shavalayim Aser. That the only time it's permissible also is if you had set aside the honey for your own use as well, and not just for the bees. Answers the Gemara, Hakamashmalan. The Braisa also wants to teach us another chidush. Afal pisha chishiv aleihem, even if he designated them in his mind for his own personal use, that's not enough. He has to have the intention not to trap the bees. Continues the Gemara, seven lines on the top. Mani, who is this Braisa going according to? Reb Shimon Lesley Muksa. If we're talking about with him Shitas Rabbi Shimon, so then he's not concerned of Muksa. Reb Yehuda, if we're talking about Reb Yehuda, Kilo Miskavin, even if he's not Miskavin, Mayhava, what's the problem? What is the heter? Excuse me. Davar Shem Miskavin Hasser. Reb Yehuda holds that Davar Shem Miskavin is Hasser. So even if he doesn't intend to trap, the halacha should be that it's prohibited. Answers the Gemara La'olam Reb Yehuda. Really, our Bryce is concerned about Muksa because we're following Reb Yehuda. If that's so then why did the Bryce have to add that one should be careful not to intend to trap, even if one did not attend? Davar Shein Miskavein is Asur and Chayiv according to Reb Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Mayu Bavat Shalei Skavein Lotzud Shalei Yasenu Kimitzuda. You should be careful not to construct in a way that it becomes a tower. Delash Delashavgulu Ravcha, that you will leave. You should leave a space for the bee. Here a tower would mean that you have it entirely covered. You should not do that. Rather, leave a space, kehech delo litzdu mimela, in order that the bees don't become trapped, even if you weren't mechaving. If it's inevitable, then Reb Yehuda hafuch l'shitaso would say that you're chayiv, so leave space. So it doesn't mean don't intend to trap, but don't construct it in a way that it can trap. Ravashi comes along and answers Rav Akva Mimishan's question on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amid Aleph, who had challenged, how could you simply say that the reason why it's permissible is because you intend to use the utensil to cover Dvash and the Kli would still be Nitel Ledavar HaNitel? He asked, but that's okay, Bimos Ha Chama, where there is Dvash, but what are you going to do during the winter months? Ravashi, Miktani Bimos HaChama, Bechama, Mepnei HaChama, ubiksham ipnei hasham katani. It doesn't say that you're just simply allowed to do it in winter and summer months, but rather what the Braisa is teaching is that you're allowed to cover it in the winter for winter reasons and the summer for summer reasons. In the winter, you're allowed to cover it. That doesn't mean straight up in the winter. Rather, what it means is Katani biyomei Nisan ubiyomei Tishrei. We're talking about the days of Nisan Tishrei. Diika chama vika shamim vika dvash. There's all three things. There's heat, there's some rain, and there's also honey, and therefore it's going to be permissible. And therefore, you're covering it only for the honey during this period of time. Rav Sheshes was critical of the teaching as recorded in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yitzchak because he thought that Rabbi Yitzchak's teaching had already been emphasized by Rav Huna. Amrlu Rav Sheshes, poku v'amrlu, go and go to Eretz Yisrael and say li Rabbi Yitzchak. Notice, if it's Rabbi, that's a sign that there was smicha, and usually that's a sign that he was from Eretz Yisrael. Kfar tigmar Rav Huna l'shmaitzich b'Bavel. Rav Huna already answered this question in Bavel. We already learned this concept before him from Rav Huna of ein kli nital el tzarch davar nital b'Shabbos. Osim mechitzel meis b'shvil chai, ve'ein osim mechitzel meis b'shvil meis. One is allowed to make a partition for a living person. By the way, this is a big sugyan bona. What type of mechitza could be made, and what type of mechitza cannot be made. But nevertheless, Rav Huna says one is allowed to use a mechitza for a living person, but he can't do it a mechitza for a dead person because of ein kli nital elo tzarech davar hanitol. The Gemara now analyzes b'shvil meis mahi. What exactly is the case of the dead body? If there is a dead body that is lying in the sun, two people are allowed to come along. The yoshvim b'tzidon, they're allowed to sit in on the side of the body. Cham lohem milamata, if it is hot for them from the ground, if the ground is too hot for them, so then in such a case, zem may be mita v'yoshiv aleh, one could bring a bread to sit on, v'zem may be mita v'yoshiv aleh, and the other one could bring a bread to sit on. Cham lohem milamala, if the beating of the sun is too hot, may be machzel so parson aleh, then they're allowed to bring a sheet to post over the bed to protect them from the sun by creating shade. Zezokef mitasov nishmat v'holichlo, v'zezokef mitasov nishmat v'holichlo. Each one is allowed to spread out this canopy, and then the canopy will provide shade as well from the body. V'nimtzes mechitza v'asuyo me'aleh, and it's as if the mechitza was made by itself on behalf of the dead person, but the reason why one is able to do it is because it was hot for these people. Rashi, in Dibra HaMaskel, Zezokef Mitaso, explains that the Gemara describes specifically that they first put the canopy up, and then they moved the beds underneath, Zokef Mitaso, and then they supported them. Because otherwise, if you bought the supports, and then you put the mechitza first, as we mentioned, there are many sugis in Bona, this one, in Erev in Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph, that says that even an Oel Arai would be usur to make, a temporary dwelling place, would like this one, would be prohibited to make if you make it in the normal derech, starting from the bottom up, but rather, it's done here with a shinui of sorts, and it's done first top to bottom. Gemara continues, 10 lines from the bottom on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, with the halachos of moving a dead body. Bezer Hashem, we will stop here a little short on Mem Gimel Amud Beis because Mem Dalid is once again another short daf. There are a lot of concepts, a lot of ideas here, but the dapim are shorter. Gives us a little bit more time to digest. Bezer Hashem, we now go to the halacha section of daf Mem Gimel. An introduction, a short introduction to the halachos of Mukza. Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today we have an introduction to Hilchos Muktzah. If we take a look on our daf on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, we will see that there is a fundamental machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether we hold of muksa, whether there is an iser of muksa or not. There is a lot of confusion and misunderstanding about the halachos of muksa for a few reasons. Firstly, muksa is confusing because many of the sugyos of muksa are all over the place. They are interdispersed primarily in two mesechtos and shas, here in Mesechus Shabbos, as well as Mesechus Beitza. There's another reason why muktzah is difficult. There are many, many categories of muktzah. They are delineated beautifully by the Beis Yosef in Simen Shin Ches. However, despite the delineations of the Beis Yosef, I would like to clarify something that has been brought out. It's brought out clearly in the Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik, but can be found in Halachas Svarim, primarily in the Aruch HaShulchan, who does a fantastic job of teaching the Halachos of Muktzah. Even though our Gemara had presented that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether there is a concept of Muktzah or not, nevertheless, it should be emphasized that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon's machlokis should not be confused with another discussion of muktzah. Later on, the Gemara in Perakol HaKelim will describe Gzeiras Nechemia. Nechemia instituted that it's prohibited to carry utensils on Shabbos, certain utensils, for example, a hammer today that is a kli shemelach dolis, so we will discuss those halachos in the appropriate time. And as the Aruch HaShulchan points out, that discussion of the Gzeirah of Nechemia has nothing to do with the machlokis of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. In fact, everybody agrees on some level of the concept of muktzah. For example, explains the Aruch HaShulchan, if you have an object that is clearly muktzah, designated for not to be used for Shabbos, so then even Rabbi Shimon is moda. The way Rav Soloveitchik said it in his shiurim was that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda argue about parva objects, objects that on the one hand are not mufka from use on Shabbos. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you need to positively designate an item for use on Shabbos. And if you don't, it's considered muktzah. While Rabbi Shimon says, until the item itself is by definition not usable for Shabbos, one doesn't need positive haktzoas das. This I was zochet to see in preparing Rav Schechter's notes from Rav Soloveitchik's Shiurim, when just the raw notes of Rav Schechter were put out as a booklet. This is the way the Rav explained it. The Aruch HaShulchan as well has a very similar explanation. So it's important not to confuse Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon with the Gzeirah of Nechemia, which Nechemia prohibited moving a klish shemlach to l'isser. He discussed muktzah machmas chisar and kiss, and all fun categories, cheerful categories that we're going to get to Be'ezer Hashem later on. So it's not that Rabbi Shimon rejects the concept of muktzah, or for that matter, the prohibition of being metaltel certain kelim on Shabbos, as the Gemara on Daf Memvav Amir Aleph brings out. When it comes to muktzah machmas gufo, even Rabbi Shimon agrees. So, for example, in our Gemara, three lines from the top of Mem Gimel Amud Beis, the Gemara says that honeycombs are muktzah if they're for bees. That is, that Rabbi Yehuda holds that they're muktzah, says the Gemara. But according to Rabbi Shimon, if in the object, in the chefetz, it is muchan, even if a person doesn't have positive das, then in such a case, it's not muktzah. In contrast to the Gzeira of Tiltel, which the Rambam describes in his opening of Perek Chaf Gimel in Hilchos Shabbos, if I'm not mistaken, as being prohibited because a person might come to do Malacha, or as the Ravid says over there based on the Gemara, that one might come to carry on Shabbos, and that is the reason one is not allowed to move a hammer. Here, the source is not a Gzeira, but rather either an explicit din d'oraisa or possibly an asmachta of a d'oraisa, which is found in the Gemara on Beitza Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Torah mandated that in the Midbar that we should prepare the man beforehand. Vehichinu es asher yaviyu, says the Gemara in Beitza. The Chassam Sofer goes so far as to suggest in his Hakdama to Maseches Beitza, this requirement of vehichinu es asher yaviyu mandates that one is not allowed to eat food that has been prepared before, that has not been prepared before Shabbos, has not been designated for use before Shabbos. Hence the case there in Beitza of an egg that was laid in on Shabbos. Sam Sofer in his Akdama to Beitza, as well as an Orach Chaim Simen Ayin Tes, goes so far as to say that it would be Mamish Edin D'Oraisa, and the Nafgamina between this and, let's take the other extreme, the Gzeira of Nechemya, would be a Safek. Do we have to be machmir on a suffix? If we say that the iser muktza of something that was not prepared to eat before Shabbos is an iser d'oraisa, an iser aseh v'chinu es asher yaviyu, then in such a case, one would need to be machmir on a suffix. The gzeira of Nechemya falls into the other category entirely. It's a pure gzeira, and on a suffix, one could be mako. Then we have this middle category. We do not believe that the requirement of muktza, as in our sugya, honeycombs that weren't prepared for use on Shabbos, that Reb Yehuda says is muktza, Reb Shimon holds is not, is a din d'oraisa, even according to Reb Yehuda. Nevertheless, it doesn't fall into the category of the gzeira of Tiltul Kelim, but rather is modeled, I believe, after that din d'oraisa of Eichinu Es Asher Yaviyu. The Yalkut Yosef, in his Akdama Tilchos Muktza, points out that the Sefer Bina Le'itim claims, according to the Tosas Yishanim, who says that Muktza is more chamur than the Gzeira of Tiltul, and is a Ke'ein d'oraisa. And according to the Tosas Yishanim, a Safek Muchan, one would have to be Machmir, according to Rebbe Yehuda. There are clearly Poskim that disagree. The Pnei Yehoshua says that even though Rashi says that Muktza is chamur tfei, maybe there's room to be Mekel in that Sugya on Daf Gimel Amud Beis, Ayin B'Pnei Yehoshua Sham. However, that discussion becomes, despite its importance and its significance in understanding the three different levels of Muktza, it becomes only academic in nature because we Paskin like Rebbe Shimon. There is no one who explicitly states that something that is obviously muktza, like muktza machmas gufo, that Rabbi Shimon agrees with, which is probably modeled after the pasuk veichinu es asher yaviyu, that one would be machmir on that suffix muktza machmas gufo, which would have been asur, even according to Rabbi Shimon, outside of the gzera of Nechemya. Nevertheless, what is important is for us to know these three categories. Number one, that there is an Iser d'oraisa v'echinu es asher yaviyu, an Iser achila, that the Chassam Sofer says manifests in the halach of Safek Nolad, whom according to some opinions, one would have to be Machmir. Category number two is what's modeled after v'echinu es asher yaviyu, which is not an Iser d'oraisa according to most Rishonim, even according to Rabbi Yehuda. And even Rabbi Shimon agrees that something that is clearly not usable on Shabbos and needs to be designated to be able to be moved, for example, Muktza Machmas Gufo would be a Din D'Rabbanan, and therefore on a Safek one could be Mekel. Nevertheless, it's important to note that that's a different category than the Gzeira of Tiltul Kelim, which was introduced by Nechemya. We will discuss in that sugya on Kuf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, that it seems the gzeira was already alluded to by David and Shlomo HaMelech, as we saw on Daf Lamed Amud Beis, but that is a gzeira midrabanan, as discussed by the Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam and Ravid are in Perichov Dalet and not in Perichov Gimel, as I mentioned earlier. Aside from the Nafkamina, whether one would be machmir on a suffik or not, when it comes to the Isser Achila, which according to Chassam Sofer is a Din D'Oraisa, would also be Negiyah, touching the object. Chassam Sofer claims that whenever there is an Isser Achila, for example, we have Chametz on Pesach, there's also an Isser Negiah, and therefore an egg which is laid, which is prohibited, there are certain eggs that are permissible and certain eggs that are prohibited, which are prohibited on Yom Tov, then in such a case, there would also be an Isser Negiah as well. However, when it comes to those things that are only part of the Gzeirah of Tiltal, touching them is going to be permissible. It will only be moving them that will be problematic. Bezer Hashem, this introduces us to the concept of Muktzah, with two nafkaminas of the three categories of Muktzah, number one, Safek, and number two, that the prohibition of Tiltal Kalim only includes Tiltal and not Negiah. Please note that we did not discuss at all the halachos of Gzeiras Tiltal Kalim, and that, Be'ezer Hashem, we will get to in the future. We will probably do it, Be'ezer Hashem, in the halacha section on Daf Kuf, Chaf Gimel.